To my brothers and sisters in Sutherland, happy Sabbath. Good to be with you this Sabbath. Most of my comments this morning will come from 1 Samuel 17th chapter. The time was about 1100 BCE. The place was the Valley of Elos, 17 miles southwest of Jerusalem. The event, Philistine army was lined up on one side of the valley, the Israelite army lined up on the other. But the Israelites were sorely afraid. Why? Because their leader, King Saul, had rejected the Holy Spirit for so long that he was now troubled by an evil spirit, and his fear spread throughout the camp. Well, every day, the Philistine champion, Goliath, would come out and defy the armies of Israel. He would come out and taunt them. He'd say, "Send someone to fight with me. If I win, then you will be our slaves. And if he wins, we'll be your slaves." Remember that. I'll come back to it a little later. Well, they were not too anxious to put anybody out there. Goliath is near 10 feet tall. He had a battle-hardened body, which meant he weighed about 1,100 pounds. The chainmail around his torso weighed 100 pounds plus. The head of his spear weighed 15 pounds. His shield and his sword was plenty heavy. So you got an armed tank coming at you. It's a big man. So nobody was taking him up on his offer. Well, God has an interesting number. He did this for 39 days, and then the 40th is coming up. And 40 is God's number for judgment. You remember it rained 40 days and 40 nights on the earth during Noah's flood? And God destroyed the earth. Judgment. The children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. Why? Because they disbelieved. And anybody over 20 died out there. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that went in later because they believed. Then there were some other situations. You remember Jonah when he went to the city of Nineveh? 100,000 people there. He said, "In 40 days, the city's going to be destroyed unless you repent." Well, fortunately, they did. And now we have Goliath coming out on the 40th day. Well, how's God going to get this done? David's father, Jesse, told him, "Son, I want you to go in to where the battle is taking place and take some food. Give it to your brothers and to their commanders as well and see how things are going." He had to call David in from tending sheep. So David got up very early on the 40th day and traveled there to the Valley of Elah. Only took him about 5 hours. And just as he arrived, Goliath came out with his daily taunt. So David goes up and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of the living God like that?" So they told him. And his brother, oldest brother, was right there by him. And he said to David, he said, "What are you doing down here? You think he'd have been grateful for the food, wouldn't you? You leave those few sheep you're tending up there? I know your heart. You're proud. You just came down here to watch the battle, didn't you?" And David said to him, "Don't we have a cause here? Can't I even speak?" That's all he said to his older brother. But this is what he could have said and didn't. Because this battle that was coming up was going to be to glorify God, not David. He could have said, "Brother, could it be that you're jealous?" What do you mean? Remember when the prophet Samuel came to our farm? He told our father to bring all of us, his sons, before him, all 8 of us. Well, I was out in the field, the 7 of you went before him. And he said, "No, this isn't the one." And he said, "Do you have any other sons? I have one tending sheep. Bring him in." So then I came in, and the prophet Samuel anointed me to be what, brother? The next king of Israel. Oh yeah, I guess you're right. Uh-huh. Well, Goliath out there. Yeah, he's big. But I want to remind you of something. I killed a lion and a bear while tending my father's sheep, the ones that you just mentioned. And that lion and our bear could easily kill Goliath, and I killed both of them. So no, brother, I didn't come down here to watch you fight. I came down here so you could watch me fight for the Lord. He didn't say that because the battle was for God's glory, not David's. As tempting as that might have been. So David is talking like this, and some of them heard it, some of the other soldiers, and so they went and told the king what David was saying about this giant. So Saul summoned him, and David came before him. And David said, "Don't be troubled, king. Don't be afraid. I'll go and fight this giant, and I'll kill him, this uncircumcised Philistine." The king said, "Well, how can you do this, lad? You're but a boy. He's a seasoned warrior." He said, "Oh, king, while tending my father's sheep, the lion and the bear came to kill them, and I chased after them. And when they dropped the sheep, they attacked me. And I grabbed the bear and the lion by their fur, and I struck them and killed them." Now think about this. He would have had a staff, a sling, and a short club. Club was a job here. This would be the weapon for the job. But figure this out. He's about 175 pounds, we'll say, a lad. Lion 600, bear about 600. Rushing at you. They have thick skulls, both of them. You have one blow and one only to get the job done. Is he going to kill him on his own? No way. You're not going to kill him on his own. One blow, he kills the bear and he kills the lion. "O king, God delivered me out of the hand of the bear and the lion. The Holy Spirit was in that blow." David knew it. Anybody who would hear the story would know it. So he was sure he could defeat Goliath. So that was faith times one. David recalls previous victories. Faith times one. Faith times two. David rejects the discouragement of his brothers because the battle was for David's glory. And I just mentioned to you what he could have said, but what he did say. So he rejected the discouragement of his brothers. What are you doing here? He didn't get discouraged. He had a clear path of what he needed to do. So that was faith number two. Faith number three, David is reassured by the proper motivation. When he arrived there, he heard what the king was going to do for anybody that could go out and slay Goliath. What will they do? What will he do? Number one, the king will make you very rich. Yeah, that sounds good. Number two, the king will give you his daughter in marriage. Not bad. Things are coming along. Number three, and best of all, you and your family will never have to pay taxes. I like it. Sounding good. But none of that is what motivated David to go out and fight Goliath. I'm sure it wouldn't get us enough for any of us either. He was fighting for God. And that's what was driving him out there. Not all the glory that could come to him if he kills Goliath. That was faith times three. Faith times four, David recognized that the devil was behind Goliath's challenge. He recognized this. Verse 45 of 1 Samuel 17. Notice. But David said to him, "You come to me using a sword, a large spear and a small spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven. He's the God of the armies of Israel. You have spoken out against him." Who spoke out against God in heaven? Lucifer, who became Satan. He recognized who's behind this taunt, this challenge. This is a spiritual battle as well as a physical one. David recognizes it. He's going to fight for the Lord. So that was faith times four. Faith times five. David responds to Goliath's challenge with a positive confession. Reading verse 47, same chapter. "Everyone gathered here will know the Lord does not need swords or spears to save people. The battle belongs to him, and he will help us defeat all of you." All of you are going to be defeated today, Goliath. All the soldiers standing behind you as well. So that was faith number five. He was sure. Faith times six. David relies on the power of God to deliver his people. Verse 46. "Today the Lord will give you to me. I'll kill you and cut off your head. Today I'll feed the bodies of the Philistine soldiers to the birds of the air and the wild animals. Then all the world will know there's a God in Israel." So now he prepares for battle. Goliath comes out, of course. He says, "What? You send out a lad to fight me? Am I a dog?" And the boy's got a stick. He must have had his staff with him yet, early. Set it down. He stands there, defiant. Pushes his helmet up. Bad move. Revealing his forehead. David reaches into his little pouch and pulls out one of the five stones he had. Nice, round, smooth. Puts it in his sling, and he doesn't hesitate. He heads towards Goliath. Now, when it comes to having a sling, I practiced for days when I was a youth. Days on end. I wanted to be like David. And I was flinging these stones out there, and I got to where I thought I was pretty good. I could hit an apple box at 50 feet. Some of the time. I wasn't ready for prime time. David has to hit a very small area. And so he comes right at Goliath, hurls that rock, and bear in mind, this rock's going over 100 miles an hour. Hits a giant in the forehead, sinks in, knocks him to the ground, unconscious, undoubtedly, but probably not dead. David runs up, takes his sword out, Goliath's sword, cuts off Goliath's head. I'm sure he probably held it up to the army behind him. And what'd they do? Ran. What happened to the deal? Remember the deal? "We'll be your servants if Goliath loses." Deal's off, I guess. But then the Israelites were brave, and they took off, and they chased them, and many of the Philistine army died that day. Just as David said would happen. Ah, yes, indeed. Faith number six. David relies on the power of God to beat Goliath. Faith times seven. David was certain of the victory before the battle began. In verse 37 of the same chapter. "The Lord saved me from the lion and the bear. He will also save me from this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go and may the Lord be with you." He knew he would win because he knew God was going to deliver him, just like with the bear and the lion. Faith. It's impossible to please God without what? Faith. It's impossible. David had it. Now let's review, come up to modern day and review the seven ways, the seven steps in faith. We all face a Goliath of some time today, don't we? Maybe that Goliath is health. Went to the doctor and got the bad news. Maybe it's finances. Ends don't seem to meet. Maybe it's a destroyed marriage. Maybe it's family problems. Everybody has a Goliath, right? Something we're dealing with. When we face that problem, remember what David did. Number one, he recalled on previous victories. If you weren't born into a Christian family like I wasn't, and you were in your 20s like I was when you came to the Lord, you picked up some habits along the way, didn't you, that you needed to hand over to the Lord. We all did if we were in that situation. It's a miracle, is it not, that we were converted, had a change of heart, and were born again from above? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. That's faith that God will get us through. Recall previous victories. And if you weren't born into a Christian family, you still had to make your own decision, didn't you? To follow Jesus. Some do and some don't. You had to make a decision to follow Jesus. And you had to change some habits as well. And that's a miracle too. The Holy Spirit worked with each and every one of us. It's a miracle coming to God. It takes faith. That's what it takes. Come to God. Then sometimes you have to reject the discouragement of others, don't you? Even within a family. Remember our servant Job? What happened to him? All this trouble comes to Job, and his wife comes to him and says, "What? Why don't you curse God and die? Thank you, dear." Then his three friends come to him and say, "You know, Job, if you weren't such a sinner, none of this bad stuff would be happening to you. Thank you very much." Job dismissed the discouragement of others. He knew he wasn't guilty, and he didn't blame God. He didn't understand what was going on. But he stayed true to God, did he not? He stayed true to God. We need to do the same. Reject the discouragement of others when we face this Goliath. Number three, be reassured by the proper motivation. When we go through this Goliath that we're facing, will it glorify us or will it glorify God? Depends on how we approach it, right? Think about that when we're in the midst of the battle with our Goliath. Four, we need to recognize the nature of the battle. Ephesians 6:12 gives us a kind of a look of the nature of the battle. Paul says, "Our fight is not against people on earth. We are fighting against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness. We are fighting against spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly world." This is why we need God and His armor to win, isn't it? It's a spiritual battle we're fighting, the Goliath we meet. So we need to bear that in mind. Number five, we need to respond with a positive confession. Jesus healed a lot of people when he was on earth, right? He asked most of them the same question. You remember what it was? Do you believe I can do this? What did they all say? Yes, Lord, I do. If anyone would have said no, what do you think would have happened? We'd be reading something different, I think. They all said, "Yes, Lord, I believe you can." Can he get us through the battle with our Goliath? Yes, he can. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it's not painful. But he can get us through. Believe that he can. Faith. Number 6, we need to rely on God's power to deliver us. Think about it. What keeps us breathing? Isn't that God's power? Yeah, every breath. God's power. What causes a seed to grow? Science can take it apart, but they can't make it grow. What does it? God's power. What guides the birds and the animals to migrate thousands of miles without getting lost? God does. I guess he has a GPS in their little minds. It's a miracle, isn't it? I worked for the fisheries 45 years ago or so. And I worked at a research station. When you let the salmon release them, you know, they're about 3-4 inches long. They go out to sea and stay anywhere from 2 to 4 to 5, and some even 7 years, and come back, depending on what species. And we marked them in different ways, cut a certain fin off, so you could recognize what pond they came out of, because we fed different ponds a different diet. So we were interested to see if diet had anything to do with how many came back out of that pond. So when they'd come in the fall, the creek ran, or the little river ran right under the bridge by the hatchery, and we'd stand there and watch them coming in by thousands. We had about 25 ponds, and they all spilled into the creek. And as the salmon came up the creek, there was one spring in between all of the ponds, and it had different water. All the other ponds were fed from the creek, but one pond was fed from a spring. And we knew how the fish that came out of that spring pond were marked. And when they came up, they passed up all the other outlets to the pond, and they were jumping at that pond where the spring was. They knew exactly within inches where they were born after they traveled 3,000 miles to sea and back. Who does that? God does that. It's absolutely amazing. Some of the things, how God cares for everything. Everything has a purpose. So we need to rely on God's power to deliver us. In faith, times 7, believe the battle is won before it begins. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, no one can please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is real and that he rewards those who truly want to find him. Is that us? I hope so. James 1:2-8. My brothers, you will have many kinds of troubles, but when these things happen, you should be very happy. You know that these things are testing your faith, and this will give you patience. Let your patience show itself perfectly in what you do. Then you will be perfect and complete. You will have everything you need. But if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God for it. God is generous. He enjoys giving it to all people. So God will give you wisdom. But when you ask God, you must believe. Do not doubt God. Anyone who doubts is like a wave in the sea. The wind blows the wave up and down. He who doubts is thinking two different things at the same time. He cannot decide about anything he does. A person like that should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Faith times 7. Well, as we face Goliath, remember that. I'm going to close with a story. I was watching television, Christian television, one day. And the host of the program announced that a 20-year-old would be coming up soon on the platform. The story of this 20-year-old was he was born in Romania. He had no arms and four toes on each foot. And his parents were told by their neighbors that you must be cursed by God. And that's what they would hear so often. You're cursed by God. They couldn't take the pressure, so they gave the boy up to an orphanage. A few years, a little while later, not too long, a family from the States adopted him. They had several other physically challenged children, so he just joined them. He was raised in a Christian family. And as he would go to church with them, he just never could seem to connect with God. Then one day it happened. The pastor was speaking about John 9, 1 through 3. Remember that story? Jesus is walking along with his disciples. They see a man that was born blind. And the disciples asked him, "Teacher, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his parents' sins or his sins?" What did Jesus tell them? "Neither. Neither. The man was born blind," Jesus said, "so that God's power could be shown in him." Every life has a purpose, brothers and sisters. Even if we're born without arms or all our toes, every life has a purpose. It's precious in God's sight. And he will work through them. So the host invited this man who is now 20 years old, very handsome man, comes out, barefoot, suit, sits down, and somebody brings a guitar and sets it at his feet. And he plays the guitar with his feet and sings. And he goes around the country singing praises to God. Praise God. He has a purpose for everyone here today. God has a purpose for you, brother. A purpose for you, sister. When we see what it is, give him all the glory, because he values every life. May God be with us. Father in heaven, we stand in awe of your love and power. We call upon you today. May we have the faith that David had as we face the Goliaths of our day. The victory is assured even before the battle starts. If we put our hand in yours, we know. May each of us cling to you, for you are our salvation, our only hope in this world that's spinning out of control. Come soon, Lord, and take your faithful home, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.